This has been an incredible, I don't know, 2, 4, 6 years. And it kind of keeps getting more hard. So, of how do we practice in a time of some war, possibly more war? And how can we stay connected to ourselves in our own practice? Yeah. And the sense of what do we do? What are the things we can do? Well, we can really continually orient ourselves to how's it inside me? To what degree am I aware of triggers and angers and frustrations to be able to sit with, make space for, hold, so that I'm not putting out more harshness. So how do we get to be agents of peace in our own selves internally? Paying attention to how we talk to ourselves. Some of us have incredibly hard, harsh, critical voices. I know in my 20s, teens and 20s, ooh, brutal inner voice, right? That's a way that we wage war on ourselves. And one of the most amazing gifts of this practice has been to really be able to soften. And through a lot of the metta practices and other practices, it was a way of softening those internal voices so that there is a little bit more ease internally. And then how do we radiate that out again in the time when there's this intensity of, again, need, as there always is, I'm imagining through the course of human history. The more lights of peace that we can offer and be, it's to everyone's benefit. I want to share, I'm picking up my phone just because that's where some of the quotes are, so forgive me, but this is from Thich Nhat Hanh. I don't know when this was written, obviously not in response to Ukraine. He says, "Dear friends, peace is something we can cultivate in our daily lives. It is possible to cultivate peace in every moment of our daily lives while we walk, while we talk, while we sit. I know that peace is made of two elements. The first is understanding, and the second is compassion. Cultivating peace means cultivating understanding and cultivating compassion. Every time we go back to ourselves, we have the opportunity to do the work of cultivating peace. Every time I breathe in or I make a step, I have the opportunity to go back to myself and become fully present in the here and now." Right. And being able to feel into our own agency as, oh, I actually have a lot more control over my mind and what I orient towards, what I pay attention to, what I consume, then we're kind of led to believe. And this beautiful invitation to, in every breath, can I come back to myself? Can I feel into a sense of compassion and understanding, even in times when we're upset or freaking out or pissed or whatever? Okay, those are just sort of weather patterns, right? They're not inherently us. Like, oh, I'm sitting with a lot of anger, or I'm sitting with a lot of fear. Can I find myself in that and being able to have that little bit of observing distance to say, kind of hard weather today. Okay. Can I still stay connected to our own? Can we as individuals stay connected to our own Buddha nature? Right. This is one of the gifts of the practice, as a way of kind of all these different, 84,000 doorways into the Dharma, of being able to, oh, wait, how can I keep coming back to myself? Check, am I connected, holding on to my own goodness in the face of, on the global sense, war, or just in when we have tensions with the people we live with? How can I hold on to myself, knowing, anger is going to come, frustration is going to come, resentment is here. Okay. Space enough to hold on to ourselves. From the Dalai Lama, "I have been deeply saddened by the conflict in Ukraine. Our world has become so interdependent that violent conflict between two countries inevitably impacts the rest of the world. War is outdated." I love that. "War is outdated. Nonviolence is the only way. We need to develop a sense of oneness of humanity by considering other human beings as brothers and sisters. This is how we will build a more peaceful world. Problems and disagreements are best resolved through dialogue. Genuine peace comes about through mutual understanding and respect for each other's well-being. We must not lose hope. The 20th century was a century of war and bloodshed. The 21st century must be a century of dialogue. I pray that peace is swiftly restored in the Ukraine. Again, this beautiful invitation. Well, again, I love that line, war is outdated. We need to develop a sense of oneness of humanity by considering other human beings our brothers and sisters. And this is why I think the Tonglen practice can be so helpful. It's like, oh yeah. And in a little bit, we'll do some metta practice, but this way of how can we remember this connection we have? We all are pretty similar in what we want. I feel safe, love, food, shelter, you know, and just allowing ourselves to remember we're pretty similar. And as a way of interrupting what can become a pattern of feeling isolated and really alone. Yeah. And there's a way that our community, certainly through COVID, have really been deeply challenged, changed, impacted, fractured. So the work becomes all the more essential to take care of ourselves, finding peace within ourselves, the understanding and compassion Thich Nhat Hanh pointed to, and also being able to hold a sense of our connection to our fellow humans in an astonishing pushback of polarization, which I've spoken about in weeks past, certainly here in the States, of who believes what, whether it's politics or medical things, or there's a real divide that's, some might say, or some powers that be, that there's some folks do benefit from our polarization, but it's not us, right? We can just feel more isolated and alone in the fighting against others. From Alberto Rios, we are of a tribe. We plant seeds in the ground and dream in the sky, hoping someday that roots of one will meet the upstretched limbs of the other. It has not happened yet. Still, together, we nod, unafraid of strangers. Inside us, we know something about each other. We all are all members of the secret tribe of eyes, looking upward even as we stand on uncertain ground. Up there, the dream is indifferent to time, impervious to borders, to fences, to reservations. This sky is our greater home. It is the place and the feeling we have in common. This place requires no passport. The sky will not be fenced. Traveler, look up. Stay a while. Know that you always have a home here. So beautiful. Look up. We're all looking up to the same sky, whether it's cloudy or blue sky or thundering. Same sky. And how can we remember same earth? We are all walking upon the same earth. Different conditions? Yes, absolutely. Same earth, same sky. How can we allow ourselves to remember we are all of the same experience, right? Again, not same experience, but same, the same planet. From Joy Harjo, remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father, he is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are, red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth. We are earth. Remember the trees, plants, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice. She knows the origin of the universe. Remember you are all people and all people are you. Remember you are this universe. This universe is you. Remember all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember language comes from this. Remember the dance language is that life is. Remember. And some would say that meditation is a practice of remembering, reconnecting, remembering our true nature. This is a practice of cutting through the hindrances that have us scared or isolated or checked out or worried or restless. Yeah. Remembering there is much more to us than our personal stories or the ways the personalities get hooked or hijacked. Remembering to connect into this compassion and understanding that is our birthright. We just sometimes forget. Conditions are such that it gets very entangled, right? That line, Fatima, how do we untangle this tangle? You know, through discernment, being able to see can help cut through. Oh, what's actually true? To pull in Byron Katie, is the story I'm telling myself, about my life, about this other person, is it true? Is it really true? How do you know it's true? What if it wasn't true? I mean, these four questions of inquiry of what are we, from where are we living our life on narratives that, as we all know, the mind can be pretty unreliable, right? And being able to come back into the body to remember our true selves and what's possible. Yes, I have. This is from Jack Gilbert, A Brief for the Defense. Sorrow everywhere. Slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving someplace, they're starving somewhere else with flies in their nostrils. But we enjoy our lives because that's what God wants. Otherwise, the mornings before summer dawn would not be made so fine. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor women at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness in their future, smiling and laughing, while somebody in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta, and the women laugh in cages of Bombay. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of this world. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. If the locomotion of the Lord runs us down, we should give thanks that the end had magnitude. We must admit that there will be music despite everything. We stand at the prow again of a small ship anchored late at night in the tiny port, looking over the sleeping island. The waterfront is shuttered, three cafes and one naked light burning. To hear the faint sound of oars in the silence as a rowboat comes slowly out and then goes back is truly worth all the years of sorrow that are to come. So there is tremendous suffering, there is tremendous heartbreak, and there is tremendous beauty. Can we remember? It's all here. It's all true. Yeah. Again, excuse me, it's on my phone. Forgive my pronunciation. Ludamaya Persanka. When a country of overall nice people turns slowly fascist, nice people do not notice this transformation all at once. As when a person we know intimately goes next to us, through an imperceptible process of aging, imperceptibly new wrinkles slice the skin, frightening and deep. Nice people nod when they run into each other and try more and more to lower their eyes until finally raising them becomes an inhumane gesture. How do we remember to look up, right? To share in this, yes, we all are under the same sky. We're all walking upon the same earth. A Brief Détente by Rosemary Watella Trommer. From across the pond, the doe and I regard each other, she with enormous brown eyes, I with my hands full of empty. We take turns pretending we're not watching each other, but we are, aware of each other's slightest move. She goes back to her eating, and I go back to shaking the dried iris pods to see if they rattle. They do. She startles, but does not run to the trees. I am oddly relieved as she interests herself again in the grass spiking out of the snow. All day, a feeling of doom has settled in me, a heavy, unshakable dark. It doesn't lessen because of the doe, but perhaps it does. She lifts her head again for something I do not hear or see, and I, too tense before we return to the fragile moment, this small act of trusting each other, witnessing to the cold in the air, the ice already cured on the pond, the day losing whatever color it had left, the iris seeds spilling their dark latent praise atop the snow. It's these moments. When can we slow down enough to pay attention to these moments that there's connection and beauty in perhaps unexpected places if we slow down enough to catch them? If we slow down enough to notice, to be curious, to be gently curious. Oh, what's this? Can we stay open and challenge that notion that we already know? We know this story. We know how this story ends. We know how this person will act. Maybe. Maybe not. Can we feel into a difference energetically when we're like this? I know. I got it. Versus this. Open. Can we stay open, again, to our own power and beauty in the face of what we're seeing? Very horrible. More horrible images are coming, right? There's no shortage of them. You know, I was reading that this will be a war like none other because of TikTok and Instagram and all the myriad social media venues that will produce images in this barrage of what's happening, good or bad. But sort of how then do we lean into Thich Nhat Hanh's precept of watching what we take in? When do we say no more news? And when do we say no more images? And when do we say, okay, a little, so we can have a sense of connection? And each of us will move in different ways of what's not okay, what's too much. Yes, modulate, take care, go outside. Remember that which is beautiful. I think we might move into something else. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes again. I'm just checking in how what I'm saying resonates, doesn't resonate, what lands, what doesn't, letting go of what doesn't. What might it be like for you, for each one of us, to remember to touch into through the doorways, perhaps walking through the doorways of understanding and compassion into that home place of ours, of our own goodness, our own Buddha nature, our full, beautiful, wise hearts, our steady mind. This is our birthright. Can we give ourselves permission to remember, oh, this is here, this too. And as I mentioned before, that working with the metta phrases can have such an amazingly tenderizing magic on the heart. And if it's helpful to place a hand on the heart, two hands on the heart center of, may my goodness protect me. May I live with ease. May my goodness protect me. May I live with ease. May I be happy. And noticing if there's pushback on the words and whatever. Okay. Kind of letting that go. And allowing, this is the metta practice is unifying. Yes, a unifying concentration practice. May my goodness protect me. May I live with ease. May I be happy. Letting those words resonate. So the classic image is the stone in the pond and those ripples. May I be happy. Living with ease, may my goodness protect me. Calling to mind what's sort of classically called the benefactor, but really it's someone, when you imagine yourself in their presence, your heart delights. There's a real gladdening of the heart when you imagine yourself before this person. It may be a teacher you've never met, or an author you've never met. It may be a grandmother type figure. It may be a sleeping child, a grandbaby, a dog, a cat, something again, some being, maybe a beautiful vista, a place that when you're in the presence of this being, the heart's like, ah, there's a delight. And to offer these well wishes as well. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. May you be happy. Many of you, I'm sure, have your own metta phrases. What, again, whatever resonates, whatever comes up. Touching in first, perhaps, with that, may your goodness protect you. Much as I would like my own goodness to protect me, may my goodness protect me. May your goodness protect you. May you be happy. May you live with ease. Imagining if it's helpful, this person coming to sit beside you or actually behind you. The person has your back. And then keeping your eyes closed, kind of call to mind our Sangha here. Faces of people you know, faces of people you don't know. Yeah. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. May you be happy, healthy, at peace. Challenges of life with ease and balance. May you be happy, peaceful. May your goodness protect you. Imagining in the global Sangha these words resonating from one to the next to the next. Yeah. May you be happy. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. Imagining the generative quality of these well wishings among our Sangha of 42. May you be happy, may you be peaceful, may your goodness protect you, may you live with balance. Reverberating in this Sangha of ours and spilling out, traveling in the four directions. May all beings everywhere live with ease. May all beings everywhere have peace. May all beings everywhere be happy. May all beings everywhere have a sense of their own goodness, and that goodness may protect them. In this extension of well wishes, it includes all beings. Yeah. Beings we like, beings we don't like, beings that are infinitely challenging, and beings who are suffering in hospitals, in prisons, in war zones, in refugee camps, down the street. May all beings everywhere be happy and peaceful. May all beings everywhere have a sense of balance and ease. May the goodness of all beings offer protection and safety. When you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes. And if you feel comfortable, to kind of check out our Sangha, right? So look at the two pages of these beautiful women who you were wishing well. And so allow yourself to feel a sense of connection here. Feeling into these well wishes of may you be happy and healthy and peaceful. May your goodness protect you. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.